I would like to welcome you to the program today. Here in the midst of America, which has entered into a new fascist scene, which people are constantly browbeaten by government thugs, which we read every day in the newspaper about some outrageous act that has taken place. There was a case today of a young man who decided to give the finger to the prosecuting attorney in the Anthony trial. Casey Anthony has been accused of killing her 3-year-old child, and a young man who was taking a lunch break decided to come into the trial and take a look, and on an impulse he gave the finger gesture to the prosecuting attorney. The judge saw this and sentenced the man to 6 days in prison and a $400 fine, and said that he had risked prejudicing the trial. How could he prejudice the trial by giving the prosecuting attorney the finger? Now, these trials are bad enough. They're bad enough. But to have a judicial dictator running the court, deciding that somebody's First Amendment right of freedom of speech to flash a finger at the prosecutor was, in my opinion, a breach of judicial conduct. Perhaps he should have removed the man from the court, but to give him 6 days in jail for a finger gesture and a $400 fine? Is this what justice has come down to in America? The overwielding of judicial power against innocent citizens who simply wish to practice their freedom, whether it be inside of a courtroom or outside of a courtroom. Should this type of judicial tyranny be allowed to continue? Now, who is this judge? Does he think that he is better than a single citizen, and that he can tell people how to act in his court? That somehow, because it's a court, it's sacred, and it no longer is a part of the United States of America? And isn't this what the FBI thinks, and isn't what the ATF thought, when the FBI was killing the innocent children of Waco by running tanks from Fort Hood into a church and setting it afire? What has this country come to? I am always appalled when I read the newspaper, because I know there's going to be something there where someone has found a rather ignorant citizen and gotten him to agree to bomb some sort of a meeting or gathering somewhere. A person who did not know anything about how to build a bomb, how to make bomb-making materials or detonators. And the FBI's terrorist task force comes to the person and feigns friendship just to destroy the young man's life, flies him around the Mediterranean, as has been done on several occasions, showing him how to assemble a bomb, even taking him out into a field to blow one up, and then giving him a detonator in the form of a telephone, that when you telephone the bomb, another telephone there rings and the bomb goes off. The person having this done to him thinks that he's talking to someone from Al-Qaeda, but it's really a joint terrorist task force person who's been assigned to entrap citizens and then to pretend that the FBI is standing high and tall by protecting America, when in fact all it's doing is creating a false victim so that it can stand up and smile and with mucus dripping from its eye tooth say, look what we've done, we've arrested a terrorist and saved America, which is totally not what was done. What was done is a person who would have gone about his life not doing anything was shown how to do this and how to do that, and of course all the detonating materials and the bombing materials were fake and wouldn't go off to begin with. But it's all presented to a judge and the person sent to jail for the rest of his life because he was useful to the government's need to pretend that it's doing everything necessary to protect the American people, including you and including me. It's an absolutely disgusting scene. And so that's why I'm calling on this Judge Perry to let this young man go. This judicial terror that was shown in his court is not becoming of any American. And like I say, the proper course of affairs would have been to tell him to leave the court, not to put him in jail for 6 days and fine him $400. This is just another indication of the total sickness. The total sickness of the goons who run America and how they treat the people of this country as though they're trash. And maybe we are trash. The more I think about it, the more we sit back and allow the government to do this to other citizens without protesting. I think it proves that we are trash. We are nothing but urban trailer trash. That's all we are. And that's how the government sees us, too. Those trashy people will let us do anything. So whatever we want to do, we'll just do it. Because these cowards down on the ground, so far beneath our feet, beneath our jack boots, they're not going to stop us. We can get by with anything. And we have, and we always will. And that's what America's all about. So the police and the other gendarmes can have their way with the people. Kick them around, put them in jail, incarcerate them, harass them, terrify them. Sir, if you continue with what you're doing, I'll make sure you'll never see your wife and child again. Terrorist statements like that. The wielding of guns in front of unarmed people. Tossing them against cars, tossing them against the pavement when no one's looking. These are the acts of fascism, and that's exactly what America is caught in the middle of. We might as well have Mussolini in the White House as Barack Obama. Do you ever notice the way Barack struts around like Mussolini with his chin in the air? Just like El Duce. And just like El Duce, he wants to play with colonies in the Middle East, but being a habitual liar from Chicago, he wants to lie and claim that we don't have any colonies. He said, we're not a colonial empire. Well, a bigger lie was never said. We have hundreds of bases all over the world. We do everything that any decent, self-respecting, jackbooted thug empire has always done. We're no different than the Spanish Empire, the English Empire. We're no different from any of these. We have killed millions of people in our lust to control the world and to have other people do our will. And at the same time, we have bowed our knee before the Zionist bankers of New York who've destroyed our economy, and not only ours, but the economies of the world, in their greed. It wasn't enough for them to get money for free from our printing presses and then charge us for it for our homes. No. They then bundled them up, sold them, and used the money again to make loans for other homes, which they bundled up into derivatives and sold, knowing full well that these notes were pretty much worthless. So those are your thug bankers. Those are the people you have to deal with in order to get your money from a federal printing press, money that is due to you. But the printing press people, they give the money only to the banks. And I mean they give it to them. They give it to them for nothing. They get it for free. In fact, they even write a bond to the bank and give them interest on the money that they're giving them. How would you like someone to give you money with interest? When does that happen? Maybe if you win the lottery. Well, the banks win the lottery every single day of the week. People say, oh, well, they have to pay the overnight rate. No, they don't. That's what you pay. Or that's what they pay you if you keep your money overnight somewhere. But they get their money for free. And then they charge you, the little citizen, for the very same money. Which they shouldn't do because, citizens, that is your money. That money came from your federal printing press. It was printed for free out of paper and ink. It was worth nothing. It was given for free to your bank, and your bank then charges you anywhere from 3.5% to 25% for this very same money that they got for nothing. We must end the life of these banks. We must close them down once and for all. Anyone who wants a house should get it for free. Same way the bank got their money for free that they loaned you for the house. Because if they got the money for free, then you have that money coming for free. Don't believe for a second that you should work your entire life to have a place to live. The government, which prints money to keep the economy going, has a responsibility to give you your house for free. Other governments have done this in the past throughout the world, especially in the 20th century. And of course, the banking companies wanted to put them out of business. And so they tried their best to do so. I know that it's probably a very, very difficult concept for you to swallow that you should have your home for free and your car for free, because you've been taught that as a good Christian or as a good Jew or as a good Muslim, you must work for everything that you earn. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and the bank should have to earn everything that it has too. But they don't work a single moment of any day. All they do is screw people with papers that enslave them for 30 years just for the right to have a place to live. Just to have a place to live, enslaving someone for 30 full years. And they enslave people when they go to college. They write them a college loan which cannot be ended. You can't bankrupt your college note now. You have to pay it no matter what. And it's called America. It's called freedom. And yet the bank got the money that they loaned to the college student for free. And if they had any self-respect, they would give the college student the same rate and say, "Son, I want to see you go to college. Here's the money I got from the government for free, and I'm giving it to you for free. You never even have to pay it back." Why should they have to? The bank doesn't have to pay it back. The government uses the bank to expand the economy. What I'm saying is that these government thugs are using these banks because the banks will give them a few dollars back for the campaigns of congressmen and presidents. And that's why the system works this way. It's a form of corruption. They give trillions of dollars to the banks and a few million come back to the congressional candidates. Well, since the congressional candidates don't care how much they spend of your money or of printed money that was free and didn't cost anything to begin with, if they get $300,000 for their election, they think that's a pretty good deal, even though the bank got billions. But you see, what happens is that you have your income reduced by every dollar that's printed, because they want you then to pay for that for some reason. I don't understand why. If you print it for free, there shouldn't be any payback on it to begin with. You just used some paper. That's all you did. You created money out of nothing. Why should somebody pay for it? The bank doesn't pay for it. But they want you to pay the banker and make him rich so that he can have more power over your congressman than you have. And I say we need a revolution in this country in which people demand that the banks be shut down. Because this fractional reserve system, which I'm going to explain to you for the 100th time, this fractional reserve system is a disgusting system of theft. It's a Ponzi scheme in which you, the citizen, lose, and in which the elitists stay rich forever, while you stay poor forever. That's the way they play the game. So, as I promised, I'm going to discuss the fractional banking system. By fractional, it means that the bank only has a fraction in its coffers of what it loans out. So by its own admission, it's loaning you absolutely nothing, because it has to keep 10% of what it loans out in reserve. That means that if the bank loans you $200,000 for your home, the bank only has $20,000 on reserve to cover that. And no one ever deposited the $200 in the bank to begin with. What generally happens is that the bank receives an authorization from the Treasury to make loans for, let's say, $1 million. But instead of using that authorization million to make the loan, they take the million and they put it into a box called the reserve, because this is the fractional reserve system. It only keeps a fraction of the money it loans on reserve. But it's expanded to more than that. It's expanded to where the bank loans money out that it never had to begin with. I know that you think that your bank has money in it that you put in there and that your neighbors put in there from their hard work, and that that's what they're loaning out to you. But you would be wrong to think that. You can just Google how much Americans save, and it's less than 1% of their income is in savings. And most of that's in the stock market, not in the banks. So the banks have nothing inside them except what the Federal Reserve has created out of nothing for them. In other words, they have nothing. Nothing to loan out, because the money that is originally put there, let's say the $1 million from the Federal Reserve, for what they get for free, they also get a little stipend for taking it, stays in a box. And as a matter of fact, if you open the box, you'll find that it's empty. Yes, you'll find that box is empty, because what the Federal Reserve gives it isn't really paper money. It's just a digit that goes onto their computer ledger saying that you are now authorized. We have pumped your bank filled with 1 million digits known as dollars. And it's just a number on a sheet. So they put the number into the reserve box, which then opens them up to give out loans for $10 million. In other words, they just created $10 million, because all I need to do is keep $1 million on reserve to support loaning out $10 million, of which they don't even have to have it. So when you got your loan for $200,000 from your house, which I know that you're paying right now, and you're probably paying $1,000 to $1,500 at least on that loan. If you have it as an ARM, you might be paying, $7,000 or $8,000 a year. So you're paying this. You're paying this and every month, and yet it was a scam, because your bank had no money in it when it said that it loaned you the money. That's right. You've been taken to the cleaners because the bank had no money. None. It just said it had it. It wrote you a check. And you thought, oh, this check's got to be good. I'm sure it's good. Sure enough, you take it to the closing and exchange it with the owner of the house for the deed, which then goes to the bank. So here you are. You didn't gain a house. What you gained was a debt of $200,000, let's say at 5% interest, which would be $10,000 a year, which would come out to about $900 a month. And that's what you have, plus you pay taxes on the house, etc., and all the utilities. And the bank just sits and simply collects your $10,000 every year for loaning you absolutely nothing, because the bank is empty. You go to your bank, say, I'd like to see all this money that you have. Well, we don't really have the money. We have the titles to these houses that we invested the money in. I see. But what money did you have to do that with? Well, we have this money in a box here, which we have to keep there. Yes, but I'd like to see the money that you loaned out. Well, sir, as you well know, under the banking system, we don't have to have money to loan it out. We're able to expand the money for free, and we loan you this this money that we expanded. In other words, you had no money, but you charged me interest for money that you didn't have. Well, we don't like to put it that way, sir. But that's what you did. You loaned me money that you never had. No one ever put that money in your bank. You had nothing but empty coffers, and you were able to put a couple of digits, six of them, onto your ledger saying that you had $200,000 when you didn't. And then, in your little wicked Ponzi scheme, you loaned me the $200,000 that you created out of nothing, and you began collecting interest on something that you never even loaned me. You cheated me. You cheated me and all of my fellow citizens out of our life savings, because this house is the biggest thing we were going to have. You got that money for free, didn't you, Mr. Banker? Well, yes, in fact, we did. We're members of the Federal Reserve, and they want us to expand the money system by doing this. But why did you charge me for money that you got for free? We're a business, sir. We're in business to make money, that's why. Well, if I made money and loaned it out to you, I'd be arrested. Yes, but that's the difference between being a bank and a citizen. Well, what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is that this difference is overrated and overprotected, and you and I need to shut down these banks. I'd like to see college students around the country be told in the college campuses that they were loaned money that didn't exist, because I can assure you that college students love to protest things. They protested Vietnam, they protested civil rights. You got a group of people there that are filled with energy and have time to do things. And their colleges, almost by law, have to respect their right to protest political things, because, well, at least they say that the colleges exist in order to make sure that young people will have a mind of their own and be able to express themselves politically and to feel free to protest and do whatever they need for a redress of grievances before their government. And a good student is a student that thinks on his own and that uses his feet to protest and to walk to a place with a sign and to do something about what he thinks is wrong with the country. Now, in many cases, college students might be wrong about what they're protesting. They might be. And again, they might not be. But in the case of banking, in the case of the manufacture of money out of thin air behind the walls of a bank where you put your money in and you sign an agreement for a loan and you're given absolutely nothing, and yet you're supposed to spend 30 years of your life paying off that note, which was for nothing. Nothing existed there. There was no money there. They wrote you a check for your house and they scammed you. Well, you might ask, what should we do about this? It's very easy. The banks are worthless. The banks are like a priest that stands between you and the Lord. The Lord is everywhere, according to the Bible. God is here, God is there, God's in your mind, God's in your dog, in a tree, everywhere. God knows everything, and therefore he has to be everywhere. But under religion, you have to go to that, whatever religion you belong to, you have to go to the minister to reach God. You have to bribe the minister to intercede for you. And that's what the bank is. It's the minister that works between you and your money. And I'm talking about your money, because the money that you borrowed for your house or your car or your credit card is your money, created by your printing press in Washington, D.C., by your treasury. It's your money. Not the bank's money. It's the people's money. It belongs to you. And if anything goes wrong at the bank, you're expected to pay off debts that the bank incurred through gambling or through other things that it shouldn't even do. And if they lose money, then you're expected to pay that debt off that they made. Of course, it doesn't cost you that much to pay it off because the money's free. If they lose money, the Federal Reserve just prints some more and gives it to them and says, here, let us slap your hand. Don't do that again. What did they do? Well, Goldman Sachs was playing around with the price of petroleum on many occasions. They drive the price up and then ride it down, making money on the great divide that they had created by their own speculations. And it's said that they did so, I suppose, illegally, since they cornered more than 50% of the market of petroleum futures. They knew what they were doing, but no one else knew what they were doing, so they had inside information. And using inside information on a stock or a commodity in terms of making a sale or a purchase is illegal. So therefore, what they did must have been illegal. Must have been illegal. So what do? You shut down Wall Street and you shut down the banks. You don't need them. They do nothing. They have no function whatsoever except to write you checks on money that doesn't exist, which is a fraud. They're all frauds. And they cost you billions and billions of dollars every day of your life. Whether it's thousands that you pay every month for your house on a note that where you were given no money whatsoever. It was just a BS note. That's all it was that they gave you because they didn't have that money in the bank. They scammed you. They stole from you and they expect to steal from you for 30 years. And if you should, heaven help you, get sick and they have to foreclose on your house, the bank won't lose anything. You'll probably lose all of your equity. They'll sell it to the lowest bidder. They don't care. They just want to get their money back and yours can go to hell. These bankers are not nice people, folks. They're just like the Italian and Jewish mafia in Chicago and New York and Philadelphia and St. Louis. They're thugs. That's what they are. They found a great scam here. They have a monopoly over the printing presses of America. And they're able to use it to enslave every single American in the country, to buy up all of the media and propagandize us about how wonderful their capitalism is, when in fact they never worked a day in their life. You and I are the ones who are doing all the work. Yes, indeedy. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Where one person gets free money and the other one has to pay for that free money, even though it came off of his government's printing presses, and that if there's inflation caused by whatever was printed that day, the citizen's going to have to pay for it by higher prices and maybe higher taxes. Isn't that ridiculous? That's the way it is, though, isn't it? Absolutely. That's exactly what's been going on for years. And what are you going to do about it? So far, you've done nothing, but you haven't had the opportunity to even know what they're doing. But now that you know, what do you think you can do? Well, being an American, you have some choices. One, you can do things that will shut your bank down. The first thing you can do is that you can refuse to do business with your bank. You're probably not depositing any money there anyway, except to cover your check. So if you need the bank in order to write your checks out, if you're getting the account for free, then keep it. But if you're having to pay a dime for it, find a bank where you can do all of your banking for free. Because what we need to do is to starve these banks to death. Make it unprofitable for them to do business. Make it so unprofitable that they don't have any money to give to your congressman to steal their vote away from you. Because they'll vote for the bank every time. In fact, not too many years ago, the Congress got together and they changed the bankruptcy law so that if you owe money on your credit card, you'll have to pay it back. If you're a college student and you borrowed money from a credit card or from a bank, if you file bankruptcy, you still have to pay that money back. In fact, because of that law, the amount of money owed by college students is the highest per capita in the country and possibly in the world today because they can't discharge their debt. And if they owe $200,000 to a bank, which is going to cost them at 6% interest about $12,000 a year for the next 20 years, they'll never have any money ahead to pay it off. They'll be constantly paying that $12,000 plus another $10,000 or $12,000 for their house. So their entire salary will be made up in taxes and bank payments, so they'll be in poverty for the rest of their life so that the fat banker can sit on his ass and write more loans for the non-money that it has not in its accounts. Because in its accounts, there is nothing but emptiness and silence. And you can open the doors to the bank, look at the shelves where the money's supposed to be, and find them to be absolutely empty, except for petty change, just enough to cash checks for people. and then it's gone. It's a very, very quiet place. It's not the happy place that Scrooge from Donald Duck goes to count his fortune. No, 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 no. And the fortunes today aren't measured in gold or even in paper money. They're measured in the ledgers on the computers of the bank and of the Federal Reserve that runs the scam. Federal Reserve, by the way, is a private entity. It's privately owned by the banks of this country and the banks of England and France and Germany. It's a Rothschild banking affair, and all Americans are paying for it. So that while they live high on the hog, you are going to work every day of your life in order to pay them money that never even existed, because they continue with their scam. So, you ask, well, what can I do about it? Well, you can inform everyone that you know what I'm talking about, and you can check it out with the Federal Reserve. But if you call your bank, they're going to lie to you, because they've been lied to themselves. They probably think that they have money there, but they don't, and they're not going to tell you. You need to look up on Google. Look up the fractional reserve banking system. That's what we have. You have to keep 10% back in reserve for every dollar that you have. So that when the government gives you $1 million, if you're a bank, you put that in your reserve box. And then on the other side of the ledger, you've put down that you're open to give loans for $10 million. But you see, you don't have $10 million. You don't even have the first million. All you have is a seven-digit code, 1,000,000, that you wrote on your balance sheet, because that's what the Federal Reserve said that they were going to deposit there for you. You didn't pay anything for it. You got it free. And the money really doesn't exist, because it was never printed. It was just simply made up at the Federal Reserve. It was a fiction of the banking imagination. But you poor slob, you're supposed to pay for it. They get it for free, but you pay for it. That's the deal. Ah, buddy, I got a deal for you. Come to my bank. I have nothing here, but I will pretend that I have something. I will write you a check, and my other banks will pretend that I paid them, and it'll go through the system, and you'll be paying me for the rest of your life, sucker. You're going to make me a wealthy man while I deplete everything that you earn by about $1,000 a month, so that you'll be working for me and I'll be doing nothing except collecting your money. Well, that's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is, and you are the sucker. You're the sucker in the bank, and its loans to you are the sucker punch. You've been taking that sucker punch for a long time. You also need to talk to your son and daughter about this. You need to convince them of what I'm saying is correct, and they can verify it on the internet. And all they have to do is go to Google, look up a fractional reserve banking system, ask questions on Google. Is there really any money in a bank? And they'll find out there isn't. There isn't. So, be quite honest, since there's no money in the bank, how could the country be damaged by shutting them all down? I mean, there's nothing there. There's nothing to lose. You say, well, how would we get a loan if there's no bank? Oh, that's easy. You'd go straight to the source. You'd go to the federal government. You say, I need to buy a house. And the government would say, where do you want to buy it? And you tell them, you say, well, these houses are worth $200,000. We'll give you $200,000 and we'll buy the house for you. And then you get your house for free, because there won't be any interest payment. And since the money was printed just for you, you don't have to pay it back, because it's just fake phony money. So you get it at the same rate the bank got it at when there were banks, and that's for free. Now, you can't sell the house for a profit. That would be wrong. You got it for free, and then when you leave the house, let's say your company transfers you somewhere. Well, then you buy another house. You take the title change to the IRS or whatever agency is giving you the money from the government. Let's say the Federal Reserve, and you say, well, I've bought a new house here, I need money for that, and here to help make up for that for you is I authorize you to resell my house, to give someone else the house for free. So you can't make money off of your house this way. But who needs to make money when houses are free anyway? You see, without the bank, with a direct plug-in, without the bank between you and the Federal Reserve, the money that goes free to the bank comes free to you. And if you need a car to go to work, the federal government will give you the money for your car. After all, it gave the money for free to the bank so that you could borrow the money for your car. So why shouldn't it just give it to you? You're the equal of any banker. You're a citizen just like a banker. And the 14th Amendment of the Constitution says that everyone shall be treated equal under the law. In fact, you don't have to be a citizen to be treated equally. If you're residing in the United States or even walking through it, you're to be treated the same way as a citizen. And every citizen is to be treated equally. And no one is to be treated preferentially. But that's what's happened with banks, is they get preferential treatment. They get your money that's printed from your printing press for free, and then they turn around and tell you, buddy, I want 6% interest if you're going to buy a house here. So they sell you money that doesn't even exist. It's just, you know, part of a fractional banking system where they only have to have 10% of whatever they loan out on file and on deposit, which is what they got for free from the government. So they had no money to begin with. So when you go to the government for your money from the Federal Reserve, and you're treated the same way as a bank, you basically get your house for free. Because what cost you the money was not the original cost of the house. Although originally that did figure in. You're paying the bank for a note. Wouldn't you like to have a free house? Wouldn't you like to have a free car? Get rid of your bank and get it to where you can plug into the Federal Reserve just like a banker does today. You would take the bank's position, that, and you get the money for free. So you get your house for free, you get your car for free. But the rule is that you can't sell your house, you can't sell your car for profit. If your car wears out, you have to have insurance on it. If it gets wrecked, well, you got to pay for that. The insurance has to pay for that. The house has to be insured. So that if anything happens to it, the Treasury won't have wasted its money. Because you're basically holding that house for the Treasury. Yeah, you're getting it for free, you get to live there for free, but it's owned by the Treasury. But the Treasury printed the money that was free and fake that gave it to you. And what about you say, well, no one's going to build a house if they're free. Oh, yes, they will. People are always going to need houses, and the people that build the houses will make extra money. They'll get a salary from building their houses just like they do today. But instead of you paying them with a check from the bank, you'll pay them with a check from the Treasury. And they will pay their bills with those checks that they get from people buying a house just as they do today. So don't think that the system wouldn't work. It'll work exactly the same as the system does today, except for one thing. This pull on the system, this break, this clutch that banks represent, this taxation of your money that you earn so that you can't really spend it on what you want, will be taken away because you won't have to spend any money on usury, on interest. You also won't have to spend any money on taxes because since the federal government prints money, there's no reason why you should pay taxes. The government under this system just prints the money, and that's what it's doing today. And you will owe no money. The government will not have to borrow. It will simply print money. And as long as the economy is improving and people are working to justify the money that's being printed, for instance, if a builder builds a house and he gets $200,000 from it, and you give him the check that you got from the government for free, He's got the $200,000 in his pocket for his family to live on and to pay his his creditors who sold him the wood for the house and the labor that built the house. Just as it does with the fractional banking system. All we're going to do is get rid of the banks, and the money will go directly to us for free, so we'll get our houses for free. We'll get all these things for free. Everyone should get their house for free, their automotive bill, their automotive costs for free for their car. They should get their utilities for free. I'll even throw in Dish Network. And if they needed an HDTV so they could be entertained. And food stamps, enough to eat well. Enough to eat well. There's no reason for anyone to starve in a country that's able to print money and has done so for the last 250 years. And there'll be less likelihood of expensive prices for anything. Because Goldman Sachs will be outlawed. They won't be able to buy and sell stuff. They'll be shut down. Speculation will also be illegal. Wall Street will be illegal. Because if you want to start a company to hire people, you'll just go to the federal government and get the money printed for you. You won't have to go to a bank that's going to screw you with interest. You're going to get the same deal the bank got. The bank got their money for free that they loaned to you. You're going to go to the federal government that's going to print the money and treat you just like a bank and give you your money for free. And if your business is a success, you'll make more money. If it's a failure, you lose that money. And the government will not charge you for it. They'll just say, well, let's look at your books. Well, it looks like you honestly tried to get this business up and running. But things changed in the middle, and you didn't make any money. So this debt is no longer a debt. And, of course, it wouldn't have been a debt anyway. You know why? Because the federal government gave you the money for free for the business, didn't they? So if you lose the money, as long as you're not trying to scam anybody, if you lost it honestly, which is what happens in a bankruptcy usually, someone starts a business and they hire people and suddenly things change and no one's buying anything. Well, you know, then you lose the money. But to the government, the money's a loss anyway. And though the government doesn't care, they printed the money for free. I know this is blowing a lot of minds. I know that it is, because you are so you're so misinstructed by your banking-owned newspapers. Your newspapers that pretend to be socialistic, and they pretend to be for you, but at the same time they pretend to be capitalistic. They say things like, we stand against predatory capitalism, and yet who do they advertise for? 10% of their surface is in news, and 90% of their surface are ads for criminal enterprises that want to take your money, like banks, like cell phone companies that want to charge you for time on frequencies that you're supposed to own. How could somebody own a frequency? What would happen if somebody patented the frequencies that we talk on? We talk at about 10 up to 10 waves up to about, 20,000 waves. If somebody patented those frequencies and said that we're going to transmit on those so you can't talk because you're interrupting our right to transmit, then you would lose the ability to speak, wouldn't you? I mean, how can you franchise a frequency? I mean, these frequencies that you pick up on your HDTV from the satellite, these frequencies are being sent out by stars, billions and trillions of them all over the universe, and by the sun itself, is broadcasting that frequency also. So that when your satellite goes in front of the sun, the sun's frequencies are so much louder than those on the satellite that the satellite goes blank. All you get is a black screen, and that occurs twice a year in the spring and in the fall. The satellite will go right across the surface of the sun, because the sun will be right at the equator from where you are. And then for 5-10 minutes, you'll lose your signal. Why? Because the sun's transmitting on that frequency louder than the satellite. And yet these people pretend that they have ownership of these frequencies. No, sir, those are your frequencies, and you should be paid for them, as a matter of fact, in my opinion. And I kind of tend to peel everything backwards, because my philosophy is different than that which you have been told. I'm a college-educated person. I don't know if I'd call myself a gentleman, because I'm rough around the edges. You know, I've worked on farms. I've done about everything. I used to camp out in the mountains all summer long, up above the snow line, and shoot animals and skin them and fish and just live up in the mountains by myself. I used to see wild wolves up there, and I was told there were no wolves, and I saw them. They had slight red on them. They kind of looked like one of those police dogs, you know, German shepherds. I said, no, those can't be wolves. Wolves are extinct. Well, they sure were wolves. But I didn't know that until I saw them on the Discovery Channel. And sure enough, what I'd been seeing up there were wolves. They were kind of friendly little animals, actually. They weren't, they never came after me. I was stalked by bears and by cougars. That's a beautiful thing. Maybe I'll tell you about that someday. But, my philosophy is independence for everyone. Non-exploitation. Everyone's equal. If the banks get free money, then you get a free house. Because why should you pay interest on free money? And why should the bank get it for free and then charge you? It's your money. It came off of your printing press. It's your money. It belongs to you. And you need to demand your government give it to you straight and not try to cheat you by giving it to a bank who will then charge you money for money they got for free. That money should go to you for free. But at any rate, I believe you should have free health insurance. I think that you should have free schools, which you already have. I don't think your universities should cost you a dime. I don't care if you go to a private university. The government should pay the private university with free money for your tuition. And if you qualify to get in, voila, you're in. You don't owe anything. The point of life is not paying rich people to have some sort of mansion like Hyde Park in New York that was owned by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a millionaire, multimillionaire, who pretended to be a kind of a socialist, but he was a capitalist. During the Depression, he was able to grab control of the Democratic Party, which was basically a kind of socialist, fake socialist party. But it still sucked up under the banks. In fact, one of the first things that Roosevelt rode to power on was that we weren't going to borrow any more money. We were going to pay all of our debts, and we were going to be exemplary federal citizens by not borrowing from banks, so that we wouldn't have to pay the bank any money, which is what any good banker would tell you, that you really ought to live your life that way. Well, that's what FDR said, which was very pro-banking, because he was, although he wasn't going to pay them any interest, he was going to balance the federal budget. And that would make the world better, he thought. But as a matter of fact, the Congress wanted to nationalize the banks. FDR said, no, let's regulate them instead. They wanted to nationalize the utilities. FDR said, no, let's regulate them. They wanted to nationalize a lot of these industries. And FDR said, no, let's regulate them. Let's start the Federal Trade Commission. And on and on and on. So while the conservative capitalist pigs and bankers hated Roosevelt, he saved their ass. He did what the people didn't want. He kept these things as private enterprises, and he simply regulated them so that the rich could continue to own them and to exploit people. That's exactly what he did. And he did the same thing with the unions. He said, okay, we'll have unions. And unions can even take charge of a building where they work and lock everybody out until they win their strike. And the reason he did that was that the communists in New York and Chicago and Washington were trying to turn the United States into a communist country. And one of the things communism usually does is to use the unions to do that. Well, he took the unions and made them friends of the United States. He had the United States on the side of the unions doing all these things they wanted to do. So they became patriotic. And you found people like the head of the United Auto Workers going to Russia to look at Russian car factories that were built on the American system and being friends with them. People like Walter Reuther. And that was perfectly okay in the 1930s. And, of course, in the 1940s, we fought against Nazism and for communism, for Joseph Stalin, the great killer. Oh, it's an interesting world, isn't it? Interesting world. So at any rate, we need to shut these banks down. We need this free, fake, phony paper money that's being printed and given to banks to be rented to us. And if it's a form of exploitation that we don't need to put up with any longer. We've been around long enough to get our freedom, and freedom means freedom from banks, freedom from usury, and freedom from taxes. And since the federal government has the printing press as its property, it doesn't need to have any taxes. It only needs to print enough money to keep a reasonable economy going so that people can afford to do a few things. And we also need to make sure that all of our needs are taken care of. Free university, free grade schools like we already have, free medicine, no insurance companies on medicine, just one-payer system, free hospital care, free everything, free food, free housing, free utilities. Because, you know, basically, folks, there aren't enough jobs out there for everybody, and there are going to be even fewer in the future. Because more and more, what we're doing is roboticizing everything and computerizing everything. We used to have millions of people in New York that did nothing but sit at adding machines and add up long sheets of paper that were on a roll, and then fill out forms by hand. Now a single PC can do all the work that every one of those people did in New York in those big buildings. Those people who were simply number crunchers. The computer can crunch it a lot easier, and it doesn't have to be input again and again, because usually the same numbers carry over with a little bit of a formula from the month before. And so the computer does all that now. And it's going to take over more and more of our jobs. And if people don't need to earn money to pay for a house payment, if they could just have a stipend to live on, then a lot of them will just enjoy their lives. You know, they have enough to go to the movies a few times a month, drive their car around a little bit, maybe go to some ball game now and then, or watch it for free on TV. Be a good life. You know, there's no reason for all of you to work because there's not enough jobs. And in the future with robotics, everything that we have will be made by machines. So we might as well start winding this down and making the world the way that it can be, which is a good way. a much, much better way. That's what I want. I want to live in a beautiful country that is not at war constantly. And the only reason we're at war constantly is that the banks want to loan money to my government to support a war, because they get interest for every dollar they loan. Therefore, it's in the best interest of the bank to keep America at war constantly. And our congressmen, who get money from the bankers, basically, to fund their campaigns, they like it too. You know, they could give $1 trillion to the banks and get, like I say, $300,000 for their own campaign. They're happy. They think that's a good deal. Because it's your trillion, and it's their $300,000. And none of the trillion comes out of their pocket, only out of yours. You see how nice that would be, don't you? How'd you like to have a deal like that? You tax the people that vote for you. You give almost all of it to the banks. You get just enough money back to stay in office. There's your democracy. Everybody's equal, right? Well, obviously they're not equal. Obviously, some of us are more equal than others. Like the banks that get their money for free. And I say, on my platform, that you get the money for free. The banks are shut down. Wall Street shut down. Oh, and by the way, if you own a business, you can't float stock. Nope, you just go to the money, the government, and get free money. You don't need to float stock. No more speculations on stock. One of the worst things in this world, besides interest rates and taxes, is speculation. These companies all lie about what they're doing anyway. That's why the stocks go up and down. If they were telling the truth, the stocks wouldn't go up and down. But they're not telling the truth. They're manipulating the stocks in order to make sure that they get things the way that they want them, which is money coming into their pockets. My hour is almost finished. I am part of a great campaign to end greed in this country, to end starvation, to end the poverty in which we live, paycheck by paycheck, at jobs where we do not even want to work. Most of these jobs are simply endeavors by people who need to pay their own bills to banks. And if the banking bills were not necessary to be repaid, then most of the work which we have would not even be necessary. Because much of the work is simply taken up in trying to spend money to keep the ledgers so that taxes can be paid, and so that loans can be paid on time, so that legal difficulties don't take place. Well, that's just wasted time, wasted work. We can do a lot better than that. A lot better. A nation without greed. A nation with no banks, no Wall Street. A nation with no ability of companies to lie about what they have, and their floating of bonds, and their floating of stocks that are speculative. So that all speculation would be ended and made illegal. All usury illegal. And so that the printing presses of the world are open directly to the people themselves, so they don't have to go through the rottenness of the banking system, which then uses its ill-gotten gains of fraud to buy out our congressmen, to keep the evil system going. I am part of a movement to end this system of doing business. We're in the 21st century now. We deserve better than this. We deserve a land of plenty. A land where everyone's home, everyone's income, and everyone's medicine is taken care of. Their food is taken care of. Their house is taken care of. Their car. Everything is given to them. And those who want to work for more can do so. And the vast majority who don't want to won't have to do so. That is the world that we foresee. Thank you, and good day.